their gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out an all-points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
New world
order. Attention. New world order. Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
It's a flesh wound.
It is not just a flesh wound. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. I have no idea what the date is. Anybody know what the date is? Monday, November 15th, 2010. This is a live show right now, right here, right in front of you. So if you're listening to this on the podcast or a delay on the Watchman radio network or one of the other many radio network outlets that play us, don't call in. We are a call-in show. It's kind of come and go. It depends on what time of day or what the message is. But don't call in because it just makes the phone ring up here and it scares everybody. But I'll give the phone number out a little bit later. You can get your stuff ready to write it down. We are a Christian militant radio show. We are a beacon of truth in a world of darkness and stupidity. You're not going to hear milk. You're not going to get your ears tickled on this radio show. You're probably going to be offended. If you've been going to Calvary Chapel your whole life or a Lutheran church or a Methodist church and nobody's ever given you the full gospel as it relates to the holy cause of liberty, you might not like the show, but I encourage you to listen. Hang in there. Go three or four shows. Go to the archives at dutchjones.info, dutchjones.info. Listen to the archives. Ask me questions. The emails are there. I spend most of the day answering questions about, well, today it was survival. Everybody wanted lists. Everybody wanted checklists. Where's my list today that we're going to go over in the show? Good. And that's good, too. But remember, everything we do starts with no king but King Jesus. We must remain Coram Deo. As I sit here with a Mini 14 over my head and in the middle of an ecclesiastical research center, there is a balance. There is a spiritual warfare that's been battling since the creation of the earth over 6,000 years ago. And there is a physical battle that comes and goes and wanes. I had a caller today who said, you know, I was teaching my son some stuff based on what you guys do on your show. And he wanted to look, he's homeschooled. And he goes, I wanted to look up and see if there was ever a time in history when there wasn't a war. And we researched every history we could find for the last 4 or 5 days. Never has there been a time of peace on earth. So the other side is, this is not the end times. Those people that are sitting around waiting for the rapture, that's not what we're about. We're about pushing the full crown rights of Jesus Christ into every aspect of the world, the entire planet. Everything in the world is made by God. Everything belongs to God. Everything is reigned over by our Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore we must go forth and take dominion over it. That's why I'm doing this on the radio. That's why the militia movement without God is just a bunch of guys running around in the hills of camouflage. Sure, they may get a lot done by their sheer will. Okay, I'm not going to knock that. But the reality of it is there will be no real liberty and no real victory for all men unless we keep the Lord first. Well, I'm taking a look at the chat room here. I got Robbie, I got Warlin, I got a couple guests, Gunslingers in there. Of course, Olima, who does our archives. Thank you so much for that. I found out today that an old friend of mine that I've known, well, since 1992, a very good friend of mine, a man I consider my brother, listens to the show once a week. But what he does is he goes and he downloads everything. He goes to a Starbucks and downloads it because he doesn't have internet access. He puts it on his iPod and listens to it while he's at work. So that's nice to know. I'm glad you're listening, Barry. And other people, they pop around, they trade them, they listen on Facebook. I want to welcome my Facebook listeners. That's probably the bulk of this first hour. We are a two-hour show from 5 to 7 p.m. were picked up by very many networks for the whole 2 hours. But our big favorite network, they're all good, but the first one to pick us up after our little debacle over there with the, what was that other one called? No Amendment Radio or something. Anyway, when we switched from them to Liberty Tree Radio, we are very proud of that one. They pick us up at 6 p.m. We're also picked up by shortwave and all kinds of stuff. If you're listening to the sound of my voice, I want to know where you are. Not be, you know, like, don't send me grid coordinates and how many feet underground you are, but give me at least a nation or a state. We are expanding. We've got about 6,000 listeners now, judging by downloads and people emailing where they're listening from and what? Baby monitors. People that are listening on baby monitors. I love that one. Scotty. Where's Scotty today? He may be a guest in there. Sometimes he logs in as a guest up in Dundee, New York, transmitting us over Channel 2 on the CB. Give us an email. No, the Earth is not billions of years old, Warlin.
The story to follow up on that boy that couldn't fly his
Okay, well, we'll get to it. Okay. Yeah, post it on Facebook, and we'll get to it. Stacy's overdoing her usual research for the show. But I want to know where you're emailing from, where you're listening from, and you can email me at dutch@dutchjones.info. That's dutch@dutchjones.info. That's the new email address. And if you want your own dutchjones.info email address so you can impress your friends and swoon the ladies, email Lou, L-E-W, at dutchjones.info. Make sure you spell it J-O-E-N-S. And if you make a donation every month, $5, $25, we don't care what it is, you'll get a free email. And I don't, people ask, is it encrypted? Can I do? No, it's just an email address, and I'm sure the FBI reads everything we send. And we'll give you bumper stickers. And we're working on T-shirts right now. We've been looking for places. Lou found a place where we can get T-shirts for, what, $1.65 if we order a million of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's real good, Lou.
$1.65 each.
$1.65 each if we order a million T-shirts. So I'm going to need you guys to pre-order 1 million T-shirts. So I don't know. I don't think we're going to be able to sell them for that cheap. How am I sounding, guys? I'm looking over at the meter. It's awfully low, but... sometimes when I turn it up, you guys say I'm distorted. Give me some signal checks. Let me know what's going on. Oh, somebody's popping in over here on Facebook. Okay, let's just start it off with the questions. What do you recommend, an AR-15 or a Dragunov? You know what? I am torn. I was raised on the AR-15, used the AR-15 in combat, never had a problem with it. But I love the Dragunov. I love the 7.62x54 round. We have, if I could have a Dragunov in California, I would. We have Mosin Nagants. We're not allowed to have AR-15s. If you get an AR-15 that's made by a good manufacturer, they're good. If you get a Dragunov of any kind, they're all good. Let me make sure this, you know. So thanks for the question. That's Michael. I don't know where you're listening at, Michael, but thank you so much for popping that in. Why not? I'll take random questions. The thing I don't like about the AR-15 is the gas feed system. It clogs up, it gets dirty, but I'm going to tell you this. It's failed me a lot in training. I've had gas tubes blow up when I was an MP doing training. Never failed me in combat. I never had a misfire, a bolt override, anything in combat, so I can't slam it that way like some of the Vietnam vets do, the modern ammo and everything. But if I were going to get an AR-15 today, it would have the push rod upper. Do away with the gas system, have a push rod upper. I have no problem with the 223 round. Some people say they don't like the 223 round.
You didn't send the message.
Oh, send it, Lou. Thank you, Lou. Lou's backing me up here technology-wise. And it's an okay round. People tell me, 223 round's inferior. I'm like, okay, you go 300 yards down range and let me shoot at you. 223 rounds fine, but the 7.62x54 is a one bullet killer. It's right in there between the 308 and the 30-06 for those of you that like American stuff. Lou over the weekend, which is what we're going to talk about first. We had some nice little fellowship with some gentlemen of the cause, and Lou broke out his M44 Mosin Nagant, and it was funny because you know how the sun was just setting. Flames were shooting out, the loud boom, because we were shooting 45s and 9mm handguns. And Lou goes, I'm going to get my rifle out. So I love the 7.62x54. I love it. But what's your enemy going to have? Robbie's saying the 223 is lighter and you can carry more rounds. That was the whole point behind American forces switching to it. It's a NATO round. You can carry 220, 300 rounds. That's what the combat load is for the American infantrymen of 223. But and thank you, Warland, for the sound check. And the older 308 caliber with the M14 and all that, you know, that's good. But with the 223, especially right now in Afghanistan and stuff with dedicated attackers, it's taken two or three rounds to drop a feller. You know, sweet little guy with his suicide bomb and a machete comes at you. You want to stop him with one round. That's why a lot of the special operators are switching to 6.5 Grendels and 50 Beowulf uppers for the AR lower, or M16 lower. Let's be more specific. So, yeah, you can carry more rounds. With the 223, here's the deal. You got to be more accurate, more controlled fire, and you got to make sure that you know what terminal ballistics do to the human body where you're taking your target choices. You take a 30 caliber round, hit somebody anywhere, they're going to stop. They may not stop shooting, but they're going to stop advancing. Anybody that's been deer hunting or something, you shoot something with a 30 caliber round, yeah, the deer can run off, but they're not going to want to stay in the area and return rounds. So whatever caliber you have, I had a guy call me today. What did he call me? Or I can't remember if it was an email. He says, all I've got is a Ruger 10/22. What do? I said, buy thousands and thousands of rounds. That Ruger 10/22, learn to use it, be precise with it, figure out how to get reach out to 500 yards. I used to have a Ruger 10/22 when I worked at a shooting range, and I could shoot those little, I don't know how many ounce, 8-ounce soda bottles, the plastic ones. Is that how big they are? Little Coke bottles that you always drink. 8 ounce? Shoot those at 500 yards with a scope.
20 ounce?
Yeah, no, just a little one. And what we do is we'd fill them with Kool-Aid so we could, you know, they'd explode red and everything. And just take your time. The biggest thing to fear in the world is the man with one rifle. I don't care if it's a lever action 30-30, if it's a World War I Beretta that shoots some weird 25 caliber. If the person knows how to use it and has the ammunition to feed it, and he practices and knows that weapon, he's a threat. I mean, look what happened when the Russians first invaded Afghanistan. They went up against Mujahideen. This is early 84, 83. Mujahideen had muzzleloaders, Damascus barrels, wrapped wire and bands. And they held their own on horseback with these single-shot flintlocks. And then they picked up AK-47s off the battlefield and learned to use those and sent the Russians running, which is kind of funny because now Russia's going into Afghanistan. NATO got Russia to agree to come in and support. You know, we kicked them out of Afghanistan, basically, because we went in there with co-op, with special operation forces and helped kill Russians in the Afghan-Russian war. I'm sorry?
Charlie Wilson's
war, exactly. And studio audience yelled out Charlie Wilson's War. If you haven't seen that, you got to watch it. And now they're going to be in there helping us with logistics. This is just bizarre. That's just another layer of the onion being peeled back, showing that it's all just a game, that these wars are all manipulated to destroy the peasants and the middle class, just the way it goes. And that's kind of the point of the show here. We're exposing the lies and the stupidity that most people, the NASCAR dads and the soccer moms, want to go, oh, that's so great. Sarah Palin's wonderful. George Bush was a Christian. It's all a game, folks. It's all a game. And we put our best and brightest, our young people, in harm's way for stupid wars. You know, you'll hear me rail against the Muslims. You'll hear me rail against the Zionist Jews. You'll hear me rail against the Mexican invaders. But the fact of it is, we shouldn't be meddling in other countries. We should not get involved in entangling alliances. Warland's saying if the Earth's only 6,000 years old, then how are diamonds formed? The same way that people form diamonds in Austria under pressure and heat in less than a day. I know you're just messing with me. But yeah, diamonds have been formed. Fossils can be formed in less than a year. Google Kent Hovind. Kenthovind. We should have his drdino.com
and
freehoven.com. Excellent point, studio audience. We've got a good studio. Educate yourself. Don't make me do it. I've been there. Kent Hovind has got some good stuff on the age of the earth and the farce of, there are a lot of Christians that say, well, I'm an evolutionist Christian. You can't do it. Oh, I'm an inclusive Christian. I think that all religions lead to God. Well, then you're not a Christian. Yeah, the gap theorists and all that kind of stuff. That oh, and a moment is like a million years to God. No, that's not what it meant. Buffet Christianity, truncated Christianity. Thank you, Warland, for triggering that discussion. You really feeling good, Warland, when Batfag's not here with the sarcastic comments. I love it. It's bad when you and Batfag are both in here. He works, you know, being a what he does, he works right now over there in Massachusetts. So it's good to have you in there. I appreciate you having you in there. I wish I could get Warland to come to church here. I know Chico's not that far. I know you got a bad car, but if you could take the train to Hanford, H-A-N-F-O-R-D, we'd come and get you. He's laughing now. You can come down for the weekend. You can sleep on our floor. You can sleep in Frank's shower. I don't know. We got room here for you.
Where am I going to sleep?
Yeah, it's true. I know you're in a fixer-upper. You took one of the fixer-uppers here on the prop, but Frank's a contractor. But we got beds. They may not be warm, and you won't be sleeping alone because we don't know what kind of critters are in them, raccoons and such. But if you want to get in here early before it gets dark with a stick, you can clear out the bedrooms. But in all seriousness, if you guys want to come here, just make arrangements. I talked to the pastor in detail about this yesterday for about an hour after church. We are looking for able-bodied, Christ-loving, militant men and families, single moms that are willing to do their work. We've got vacant homes here that God is telling us you're wasting this. You've got to put it in. But, don't just show up here with your goodies and say, okay, I'm ready to live here. I did that and it worked, but we got lucky. I just showed up here. Yeah, we have a different system. But come to church for a weekend. We have open trainings. Next Sunday's an open training. If you're in the area, contact me. I'll get you directions here. And seriously, we've had people drive to Los Angeles to pick people up because they flew in there by mistake. We'll get you here. We are very hungry for the Lord to use us to bring people together. Now everybody's saying, but it's California. It's California. We don't want to, you know. But we're a commonwealth right here. We're part of the republic. Not the people's republic, but still the republic. We believe in the original concept of what this state was formed as. And we are reaching out to you. There's a courtship process. You know, we got to get to know you, and you got to get to know us. You know, we don't want some dirty hippie to come up here and hang out and not do anything and just get fed rice and beans. We've got to figure each other out. But this weekend we had, we've had some bad experiences. But that's okay. The Lord's going to test us, and the Lord's going to test you, and that's just the way it works. Otherwise, how are we going to find fellowship? This weekend we had Steve Klein come up this weekend. He brought some folks from the L.A. area. I can't remember their names anyway, but I won't give them out. No. They didn't give us permission to use their names on the air. And we did a several-hour seminar on the threat of Islam, where the cells are in America, what the different charity groups are really doing, the truth about Sharia law, the myth that we can go to a foreign country and base a Republican form of government. I'm not talking party, but a republic, constitutional republic, based on Sharia law is impossible. It can't be done. We're killing people. Robbie lives close, so he can come up every weekend. Thank you, Robbie. And Dave. Dave can be here. Robbie and Navy Davey. But listen to me. This Islam thing, we're going to hit it a little harder, and some people are going to go, oh, you're spending too much time on it. Tomorrow at 6 p.m., I'm going to have Steve Klein on here. It's going to be a typical Dutch Jones interview. I'm going to say, hey, how are you? Where are you from? You know, what you wearing? And just let him talk. And you guys can feed me questions on the chat room. So if you're not signed in to You Broadcast, and I'm going to announce this again when we get on Liberty Tree Radio today, the only way you're going to get me the questions is if you send them through this chat room. I don't have time to be reading emails. This guy has got a lot of information for you. Now, I may not agree with him 100% on theology or some other things, but I agree with him 100% that Islam is a gutter religion. It's evil. Its plan is to overtake the world. And any religion that is not of Jesus Christ is our enemy, period. So give him some slack. He may say he's a hardcore Calvinist. He may say some things that will ruffle your feathers a little bit. His son was blown up and shot several times in Iraq and Afghanistan. So you know how we feel about people sending their kids over there, but I don't think it's stupid. So I had a guy at the conference go up to him and say, yo, well, if you're dumb enough to let your kid go over, he deserves to get blown up. I thought Steve was going to kill him. But we don't have that attitude here. I've never put that attitude forth. You know, if somebody goes over there and their heart is in the right place, I feel bad for them. I feel bad for the troops. It's the guys that in the Pentagon that I hate that send them over there. But he's got a solution. The solution is called Code 20. We put 20 militia guys in every zip code, and they watch the terrorist cells. And it's growing fast. There are hundreds and hundreds of people doing this. They have people, they have people of, I'm going to say Latin descent because they weren't Mexicans, that they teach Farsi to. They train them to become Arab-like because in warfare we lie, right? And they infiltrate these mosques. They use Mexicans and train them to be Arab. It's great. Some of the stories were magnificent. And he's going to share some of them with us. He's got operatives over in Pakistan, Iraq, Afghanistan, pretending to be Muslims. Plus, he has saved Muslims that are now Christians that have some testimonies that are amazing, being tortured, having their families killed, watching their families be killed because they converted, escaping from the hand of Sharia law and coming to America. We got it bad here in America, but it's nothing compared to what these nations are like under Arab control. And right now in America, we're at 1% of our population is Muslim. When it gets to 3% to 5%, they start blowing stuff up. It's a pattern that's been followed over history. And we're in the third jihad now? Or is it the second jihad. And it's just, you know, it's stuff you guys need to learn. You need to be involved in it. You need to be working with it. It's all about cell warfare. It's nothing different than we haven't been doing already here for years, and it's no different than what I've been doing on the radio here. Here's the key. You find a good church. You know, you got to be Christian. You okay, Stace? Just ran outside, and I don't know why. You find a good church, you find 3 to 5 families, you train, you stock up, you prepare, and you watch Muslims. You get a phone book, you look at where all the Muslim businesses are, and you watch them. Nothing aggressive, you don't beat them up, you don't go paint big swastikas on their building, that's a different group that we don't associate with. You watch them, you talk to them, you get to know them, you find out what they're doing, and you separate the goats from the sheep. You find out which one are these so-called moderate Muslims that just stand by and support it. Because there's no such thing as a moderate Muslim, in my opinion. But there are the ones that are more dangerous than not. And even in our area, I was amazed to find out how much is going on. We had some law enforcement come to the meeting, and they told us about cases of people in this area doing stuff. These cigarette stores, these convenience stores that are outside military bases. But even here, because we got a few military bases around here. The skimming, the welfare fraud that goes on to pay terrorists money overseas. So it's going to be an interesting interview tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to it. We took a couple of the guys out on the range because our pastor doesn't trust anybody. He's finally starting to get the attitude like some of us have here. You know, everybody, oh, yeah, I've been to Frontside. I know how to do this because they brought with them weapons. So he goes, hey, go take them up on the range and see how they check out. These guys did great. They shoot a little slow for me because their groups were really tight. Lou's over there doing these really, you know, he's doing like hitman shooting in the throat, shooting in the left eye. And I go, yeah, well, Lou's been to advanced classes, and you guys you're taking way too long. I like that, Warland, Burka Watch 2010. That's what we'll call it, Burka Watch. Code 20 is the official, though. But we did that. We had some discussion with them. And these two guys have been in the movement for a while. They're really concerned. These guys went to Dearborn, Michigan. It was a sheriff deputy, and I don't know what the other guy did. He's probably another law enforcement guy. They went to Dearborn, Michigan, where the center of Islam is in America. And they went to the big meetings they had where the CIA is recruiting them. And they got manhandled, beat up, thrown out because they were handing out tracts and Bibles. That's all they were doing. It was very interesting to see guys that are doing it. But then – and one of our guys, Vince, goes, so you guys are in, you know, you're survivalists, you're on, oh, yeah, yeah, what's your bug-out plan? He goes, what's that? Well, you're in L.A., right? Well, yeah, we're in Huntington Beach. And you're going to stay there when the Schumer hits the fan? Oh, yeah, we're gonna just stand in our house. He goes, really? How much food have you got stockpiled? I don't know. These guys knew nothing about prepping or surviving or anything like that. So we're like, okay, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to read this. So then at the end of the day, they're like, can we come up here like once a month? And the pastor's like, sure, great, come on up. So next month we'll have another 5 or 6 guys, and it's going to keep growing. We made a network connection with about several hundred people in Ohio that are doing what we're doing. They're listening to the show now, I'm told. Well, they've not all of them. They'll have guys listen to the show, and then they'll share with what they hear. So welcome, Ohio, Missouri, And there are more and more of us out there, and it goes to the core of what I say the show is about, fellowshipping with one another, making sure they're good Christian groups first, making sure that they're legal and they're not stupid. You know, they're not going to try and sell your grenades. See you later. Sell your grenades or tell you, hey, I got a bunch of silencers in my trunk. It's about being diligent in the cause and doing what we can do to stick together. Because the Lord knows how many we need. Gideon, you know, shows up with 30,000 soldiers. He ends up winning the battle with 300. They send the recently married, the cowards, the people that have all this stuff to do. And it trims it down to 300. Even the people versus the kneelers versus the lappers, if you don't know that story. We need to teach on it's a good one, Gideon. And so the Lord's going to give us exactly the number he wants us to have to perform this task that he's going to put us through. And 10 years ago, I'd say, I don't think it's going to happen in my lifetime. Now things are changing. I was just listening to Sean Hannity, and he's telling everybody that there's going to be a showdown in this country. They don't want to say civil war because, you know, they'll get fired from Fox. And they're going on and on about it. People are going to do this. But the weird thing was, is Rush Limbaugh today, this lady called up. She'd obviously seen Glenn Beck. She goes, oh, no, I watched Glenn Beck, and he said that it's going to be $25 for a loaf of bread, and I need to do this, and I need to stockpile. And this is what Rush Limbaugh said. He goes, well, actually, it's going to be about $50 for a loaf of bread. And you're going to need all kinds of other supplies. And she's like, I know, what do I do? And she goes, there's no point in stockpiling food. You can't do it. There's no way. He goes, do you have the money to go buy food? Do you have this? Do you have that? Can you do? And she's like, no. And he totally discouraged his listeners to stockpile. He says, what you need to do is go after the politicians and make sure that we affect change in policy so this civil war doesn't start, is basically what he said. He's doing a disservice because it's going to happen. It doesn't matter which politician you vote in, it's going to happen. Gunslinger's saying, just look at the Muslim prayer at the White House. Exactly. Our nation is done. Our nation is done. We're going to come back after the break. I don't know where Stacy ran off to, but we'll be back after the break with more stuff. I got articles to talk about. You're listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. Bring it up a little more. I can barely hear it. There we go. I'll talk to you after the break. Join the bloody fray. Through 66 and 7, they fought the Congo War with their fingers on their triggers, knee-deep in gore. Days and nights they battled the Bantu to their knees. They killed to earn their living and to help out the Congolese. Oh, and the Thompson gunner. Fought beside him, Van Owen and the rest. But of all the Thompson gunners, Roland was the best. So the CIA decided they wanted Roland dead. Van Owen blew off Roland's head. Muzzle flash of Roland's Thompson gun. In the muzzle flash of Roland's Thompson gun. Roland searched the continent for the man who'd done him in. He found him in Mombasa in a ballroom drinking gin. Thompson gun, he didn't say a word, but he blew Van Owen's body from there to Johannesburg. Roland the headless Thompson gunner. Roland the headless Thompson gunner. Roland the headless Thompson gunner. Talking about the man. Roland the headless Thompson gunner. The eternal Thompson gunner, still wandering through the night. Now it's 10 years later,
but it still keeps up the fight. In Ireland, in Lebanon, in Palestine, in Berkeley. Teddy Hearst heard the birth of a Roland Thompson gun and bought it.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
Government
is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
We are paying it again to you if you do not defeat us.
Bring me a shrubbery. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program coming to you live right now. From the little hamlet of Cahuilla, nestled here in the Sierra Nevada Mountains in Central California. Just outside Visalia, California, in the not too far from the front gates of Sequoia National Park. Sequoia National Park. We just found out about a house for sale right inside the gate of Sequoia National Park for $250,000. Three-bedroom, two-story. It's got some horse property on it, no barns or anything. But it's right inside Sequoia National Park. And I always wonder, it's like, well, you know, you got to go through that gate every day. And the lady said, yeah. So they're really nice. That would be cool. And I was like, okay. But it's for sale. And when things go down, you'd have the entire park as your backyard. So nice little survival spot there. I mean, I don't know about the water stuff, but I'm going to look into that as time goes by. But yeah, we're right outside Sequoia National Park. Makes it all that better for you to come up and visit. Do a week up here. Hang out in the park. Look at the trees. You know, take pictures in front of the oldest living things on Earth, you know, 5,000-year-old stuff. Post just past the flood kind of things. Real good experience. Real good experience. I got two ways to go here. I think what I'll do is I'll save this for the next hour, the food. I got a list of college did research. I think it was the University of Illinois. The Fighting Illini did a research. They put food on a shelf and check the dates to see when it was going to go bad. And I got a whole list of stuff here for when it goes bad. I think we'll save that for the 6 o'clock hour. That'd be good to do. But right now I got some news, and this is mostly for California. To give you an idea, the 9th District Appeals Court is going to get this case. Right now, the state Supreme Court has decided. For those of you that didn't know, in California, believe it or not, if you're an illegal alien, you can go to community college for free or next to nothing. Oh, hang on here. Hello, who do we have?
Hey, this is Navy Davy.
Hey, Navy Davy, what do you want to talk about today?
Hey, listen, I don't know if you heard about this or not, but I just caught part of it. Had to take my wife to the hospital today. She couldn't breathe.
I heard about
that.
On
the way up there and the way back, she I was listening to the radio, and we as Christians are under attack again. There's a couple in the UK trying to adopt a young child, and it was they were told that they could not adopt because they're Christians.
Wow.
And because the fags have got the whole thing wrapped up over there, you know, Christians are against homosexuals.
Right.
But one of the other things that was pointed out is there are certain hamlets over in the UK that are under Sharia law. Now, no one's going to ask the question, but in Sharia law, they stone the fags.
Yeah. Interesting, you know, but yet also the Muslim religion condones old men taking young boys under their wing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's pretty sick.
Well, Sharia law, like right now, there are certain places in America where they're honoring Sharia law marriages, where a Muslim male obeys Sharia law, marries a American non-Christian woman, and then a couple years later, she's had enough and she wants to separate. Well, how do you untangle that? The courts go, well, it's done under Sharia law. The marriage is under Sharia law. You know how America honors marriages from other countries. And they're like, what do we do? And, you know, it's a tough deal. And it's you can't unscramble the eggs. Once they start accepting this Sharia law or using it to limit, like I've known Christians that wanted to adopt and they find out they're militia guys and they won't let them.
Yeah, but these folks over there aren't even, you know, obviously, they don't have a militia. I don't think they have a militia over in the UK, but you never know.
They're over there. They're everywhere. They just have to hide better over there, just like in Canada.
Just because they're Christians, they can't adopt this 4 or 5 year old little boy, and you know, bring him up in a Christian family because he may eventually wind up to be homosexual.
Yeah.
How can you judge somebody on something that might happen someday?
Yeah.
And you know. 90% of the time, he's not going to be I don't want to use the names, but he probably won't become a fag.
And there's other issues at hand we see here. People that homeschool have a harder time adopting.
Yeah.
You know, there's a prejudice against that, too, because they say, oh, well, you're not going to socialize them properly. Oh, I'm not going to introduce them to prostitution and drugs by the fifth grade? You know, so it's...
I would rather put him into foster care.
Exactly, where they get raped and sold as sex slaves.
Exactly.
Yep.
But that just, you know, when I heard about the attack, another attack on the Christians.
Oh, it's everywhere.
You know, this is going to be way too much.
I was talking to a gentleman yesterday who, you know, I don't agree with him on this, but he went and served with the Israeli army. He's a Christian, and they'll let you do that. And he was told when he got there, because I asked him, because I've known other people that have done this, what did they tell you about sharing your Christian belief? He goes, well, now that you mention it, they said, I couldn't share my Christian belief with any Jews. If I did, I'd be deported. And if I shared it with children of Jews, I'd be arrested. I was only allowed to proselytize Christianity to the Muslims.
Wow.
So Israel even is anti-Christian. That's one of the reasons I'm not a big fan of Israel. But all around the world, Christians are second rate now. And it's in the media. You can make fun of Christians all you want in TV now, sitcoms, jokes.
I've seen it.
But you make fun of a fag, and the ACLU and everybody else jumps all over you, and the TV show has to make an apology.
There you go.
And
I didn't want to dominate the thing. I just wanted to let you
know. No. That's what the point of the show. It's a modern-day campfire. Pitch in when you got something, and that's fine.
I heard that, and I just, it just boiled my blood this afternoon. All right, my brother.
Okay, thanks for calling in, Navy Davy.
We'll be in touch.
See you when I see you, brother.
God bless you.
Bye. God bless you, too. Yeah, it's the battle continues. Remember I said at the beginning of the show, the balance of spiritual and physical. The real Christian warriors understand that it's both. Sometimes it swings one way or the other, but maintain a 50-50 balance and keep your eyes open and you'll see this stuff. You know, Christians, my daughter, my young daughter who's 10 years old, they hassled her for doing book reports on her Bible and taking her Bible to school, and I dealt with it. It's not my choice that she goes to a charter school. She's in the custody of the birth mother. I was married to her. And I don't have a say in it. But I fight. If it were up to me, she'd be going to Christian school. Even when I had the funds, I offered to do it. And she didn't know. I wanted to be socialized. I wanted to, you know, the usual stuff. But Christians are persecuted in our schools, in our entertainment, in our military. I believe they really are. The chaplains are under constant attack right now. So they don't offend any of the other religions. I would love to find some chaplains that are willing to call this show and tell me what's going on. So maybe we could ask Steve Klein about it because he knows a few, because he's involved with the Marine Corps still on a, you know, like an associate level or something. He does some training for him. But that's good. Well, thank you. Thank you for calling in. As always, if you want to call in, 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. That actually spells out TCAK, the Church at Kaweah. For those of you that TCAK, that's the number. We wanted to go with Dutch, but we couldn't get it. D-U, there's too many letters. But that's what we're doing. So anyway, back to, I was prefacing this article. In California, illegal aliens, for as long as I can remember, can go to community colleges and state colleges for free. There's a small fee they pay. They get what are called Board of Governors waivers. Well, finally, back, I don't know, it must have been 10 years ago, because of the activism, you know, finally started waking up against the illegal immigrants here, people started protesting that. Well, it got to court. It finally got to the California State Supreme Court. And guess what? We lost again. In-state tuition for illegal immigrants is preserved with California Supreme Court ruling. This is November 15th, 2010. This came out at 10:16 a.m. This is from LA Now. It's a Southern California liberal little newspaper. It's also contributed to by KTLA 5 News and Fox 5 News from San Diego to compile this story. The California Supreme Court decided unanimously Monday that illegal immigrants may continue to be eligible for in-state tuition rates or for the state's colleges and universities rather than pay the higher rates charged to those who live out of state. In a ruling written by Justice Ming-Hua Chin, one of the panel's more conservative members, the state high court set a California law that guarantees the lower tuition for students who attend California high schools for at least 3 years and graduate does not conflict with a federal prohibition on giving illegal immigrants educational benefits based on residency. Now, here's where we get the dilemma. States' rights versus federal rights. It's a federal law that illegal immigrants can't get benefits for school. But the California law is if you went to our high schools for 3 years, we don't care if you're illegal or not. So the problem here is we have to make sure that illegals don't get into high school. But states' rights. This is one of those cases where the state is, in, you know, flexing its muscle. And when you have a socialist state, even a conservative judge like Ming-Hua Chin, he's going to lean that way. Now, California is one of several states to permit illegal aliens to take advantage of lower college tuition for students who attend high school and graduate in-state. About 25,000 illegal aliens are estimated to receive in-state tuition in California. Go to a community college someday here in California if you live here and check it out. I'm gonna talk to Worland when we get off here and see what he can tell us. He's already in the college system. A group fighting illegal aliens challenged the California law on behalf of U.S. citizens who pay the higher tuition as out-of-state students. The group won in lower court and the state appealed. The lawsuit contended the California law usurped a federal prohibition on giving educational benefits based on residency to illegal immigration, but not all U.S. citizens. See, here's another place where I don't agree with them. They're saying, oh, the federal law is supreme. I don't believe that. The state law is supreme. But I don't like judges making laws. I like the people making the laws. That's the proper way it's supposed to be. So I'm coming down on both sides of this case. Now, college students who are in the country illegally are barred from government financial aid programs, according to the federal law. The U.S. Supreme Court is expected eventually to decide whether the lower tuition rates also violate federal law. Now, the courts observed that the state law also benefits U.S. citizens who reside in other states but attend and graduate from high schools in California. It cannot be the case that states may never give a benefit to unlawful aliens without giving the same benefit to all American citizens. See, they're trying to say everybody gets it. You know, even illegals get it. But on its face, an illegal alien is not entitled to any benefits, rights, or privileges under state or federal constitutions. So this decision is flawed, even though I like the whole back and forth between state versus federal. Now, what this means for those of you in Orange Cove, that somebody from Nevada moving here has to pay more than somebody who snuck across the border. Do you understand that? Somebody coming over from Arizona, they go to high school in Arizona, and they say, gee, I want to go to UCLA and learn how to make movies about sodomites and stuff. They come over, they go to UCLA, they learn how to make sodomite movies, they have to pay full tuition until they've been here at least a certain amount of time. I believe it's 1 year. They have to pay gas bills, they have to get a driver's license. And it's the state's way of making sure that you've paid your fair share of taxes to benefit from the in-state tuitions. Now, illegal aliens, as we know, most of their parents didn't pay payroll taxes or any of that kind of stuff. So it's making them, again, a super citizen. Just like if they get caught driving without a license or something, they don't go to jail, they get kicked out of the car. If they commit a nonviolent crime, they get kicked out of the country and they come back. They're super citizens. They're making foreigners better than Americans who were born here. And they're telling them, come to our country. If you can in some way show that you went to high school for 3 years, oh, what's your name? John Gonzalez. Oh, yeah, we have records here for John Gonzalez. You know how that works. And they're giving them a special benefit. It's terrible to me. And it's just another example of how the schools are just bad. Let's see. We would not be doing the illegals a favor by not sending them to high school. Okay. We would not be doing the illegals a favor by not sending them to high school. There's too many double negatives in there. I'm confused. I think what you're saying is that by kicking them out of high school, it's really not going to help anybody. But the reason our high schools are so bad is because of this no student left behind thing. English is a second language. The teachers are spending all their time with Spanish-speaking students. And the classroom sizes are ridiculous, especially in L.A. Up here, they're not so bad. But when you've got 45 students in a class and one teacher, maybe a teacher's aide, and like, let's say 15 of them don't speak English or claim not to speak English, they get the special attention. It leaves all the other kids out. Whether they're Latino or white doesn't matter to me. They were born here. They deserve to get the education first. And it dumbs down everybody. Culturally, they are catering to these illegal aliens in our high schools and our colleges. I went to Riverside City College, Riverside Community College. Some people call it different things. And I can tell you the Mecha, La Raza, Cinco de Mayo celebrations, everything, go nuts. They don't do a July 4th one. They don't do a Patriots Day. They don't, you know, it's all, and every class I'm in, it's like, wow. And it's because they get to go there cheaper or free. If you're under a certain financial level in California, you get education for free. You know, within reason, you got to buy your books, stuff like that. They give them Pell Grants, state bonds, stuff like that. And they exploit it. They're good at it. And they go, and some of them, they may go and learn to trade and do something and work and eventually become American citizens. But it's fruit of the poison tree. If you snuck in, everything you do after that is compounding the crime. I'm sorry. Go back or go, you know, whatever, pay a heavy fine and then apply to legally come in. We've got some other articles about how Obongo wants to bring foreigners in from around the world, and we're going to get to that next, to help the labor shortage. Excuse me? What labor shortage are we experiencing right now? Let me find the article here. He literally wants to bring – I'm getting more messages here. Okay, that's just a hey, how you doing, good job kind of thing. Okay, let me find this article. Obongo wants to bring in foreigners from around the country. Stacy found this one for me today. Stacy went and laid down. She said she was not feeling well, and she just ran out of here and didn't tell anybody. Let's find the article. Just give me a moment here, guys. Any more madness from the courts. Modern version. Oh, here we go. This is from judicialwatch.org. Judicialwatch.org. They're pretty good. I get a lot of information from them. I like reading their stuff. And finding out what's going on there. Okay, what's going on in the... It's loading now, and it's taking a minute here. Yeah, labor shortage. Okay, when they find out they are illegal, they should be pressing charges and deporting them. The transportation to the border should be paid by the illegal by way of auction of all personal effects of the alien. Robbie, I really like that. I think all property that you have should be forfeited if you're an illegal alien, sold, and then the money goes to use for processing you out of the country, paying back taxes, paying for fines for you working illegally. If there's anything left, they'll mail it to you in the form of a gift certificate to what would be a good Chili's?
The Mexican woman.
Chili's. Yeah. What?
The Mexican woman.
The Mexican woman?
The Walmart.
Oh, Mexican Walmart. Lou says they should give you a gift certificate to Mexican Walmart. Why is your microphone way over there? I can't hear you when you don't talk into the microphone. That would be great. Let me find this labor shortage article here. Now, this is from Corruption Chronicles, a Judicial Watch blog. Obama's 21st century international migration policy. This was put up on the 10th. We just found it today. It's not old news because it's still important. The Obama State Department official responsible for admitting third world refugees into the U.S. has delivered his boss's international migration policy for the 21st century, and it largely focuses on human rights diplomacy, protecting vulnerable migrants, and common sense immigration reform. The administration will also focus on respecting the dignity and well-being of people on the move and addressing the perception among citizens that immigrants threaten their economic well-being, according to, get this name, Eric P. Schwartz, Obama Assistant Secretary of State for Population, Refugees, and Migration. That just sounds like a Nazi office, doesn't it? Schwartz, who believes that humanitarian issues should be the center of decision-making on critical policy issues, revealed the predictable agenda at the prepared to present the U.S. at an annual United Nations powwow, the Global Forum on Migration and Development, to address migration, immigration, illegals, all that. This year's meeting is taking place in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And Schwartz wants the world to know that his boss appreciates the contribution that immigrants have made to the U.S. over the years. This is the quote here that I found. President Obama said that the steady stream of hardworking and talented people who have immigrated to the United States over the years have made the United States the engine of the global economy and a beacon of hope around the world, Schwartz said in his delivery. The former Clinton administration official stressed that migration has played and continues to play a critical role in our national experience. Really? So we're a powerhouse now. We have a strong economy now. We're a beacon of hope to the world. With 20% unemployment average across the country, 40% where I'm sitting. After citing a number of positive statistics that he made up on the important contributions that immigrants have made to the U.S. economy over the years, Schwartz stressed Obama's commitment to comprehensive immigration reform. Here's the next thing he's going to try and get reelected, which has coined Common Sense Reform as the name. The assistant secretary also made clear that the president opposes local laws like Arizona's to curb illegal immigration. So he's going to the world court. He's going to the UN to make fun of one of his own states. After all, Schwartz claims, immigration has helped the U.S. avoid many of the very troubling demographic trends that bedevil other industrialized countries less hospitable to immigrants. How? New entrants and their families play a critical role in helping the country sustain its capacity to maintain, get this, social programs. Did you understand that? New entrants and their families play a critical role in helping the country sustain its capacity to maintain social programs. The machine of welfare, the machine of our prisons, the machine, all of that needs to be fed by, they're admitting it there. Now, as birth rates decline with an aging population and as the revenue streams shrink, they play an important role. They need to feed more people into the fodder. Because we know that if you look at the population of the U.S., it's an inverted pyramid. The older baby boomers, all that, the greatest generation are getting older. There are less and less true Americans underneath them because for some stupid reason, Americans murder their babies in the womb and don't have big families anymore. And I'm guilty of that. Mine's biological. We had one kid by miracle with my first wife. And then after that, we lost two children. We had two children die on us. And I'll talk about that maybe on a later show. My new wife that the Lord gave me, she had one large-headed, strange baby over here named Lewis. Hey. And then she was struck in with an illness, and they had to remove her organs that made babies to save her life. You know, it does that. Tumors do that kind of thing. It's God's will. We had one kid each. We had, you know, replacement babies. Had I my druthers, I would be having a ton of kids. I would have nine kids. I love it when you see a big family come to our church and they got six, seven kids, nine kids. My family was 11 children. I'm the only one not in prison that I know of. I'm kidding. Some of them are. Some of them are in mental health. I don't know. But that's because we weren't raised Christians. I found it later. Now, Schwartz conveniently omitted that U.S. taxpayers annually spend hundreds of millions of dollars to medically treat, educate, and incarcerate illegal immigrants, and nevertheless, he assures the international community that even if Congress doesn't pass legislation to legalize millions of undocumented immigrants in the U.S., the Obama administration's message remains clear. The United States has greatly benefited from migration, and the country must protect the right of all illegal aliens. Now, it goes back to that line. New entrants and their families play a critical role in helping the country sustain its capacity to maintain social programs. It's the whole point of our government to them. Communism. Socialism. I was married to a social worker for 17 long years, painful years. And she would lie to me and say, my whole job is to work myself out of a job, to make it so that nobody ever needs social welfare programs again. And I go, that's a bunch of bunk. If it was true, there would be limits on it. There would be education. Anybody who collects welfare would either have to go to a job 40 hours a week or go to school to learn a trade. But nobody wants to do that. So right here in front of the UN, our government is admitting it, that the reason we need illegal aliens is to keep social programs going. It's a boondoggle. It's to make jobs for government. Right now, there's like, I saw a chart the other day, how many government employees are in the U.S. that make over 150,000? How many make over 500,000? It's ridiculous. It's a savage, insane, unbiblical beast that supplies these jobs. Let's see, Gunslinger, my 14-year-old daughter who is homeschooled through the church knows more about the Constitution than my son. My son asked me before the election what a Dem and a Republican was. Then he asked what he was, so I had to give him a quick education. Here's the kicker, he's a senior in high school, yeah. We were talking in our seminar this weekend on Islam, and the soldiers below 30 years of age, you know, just a generalization, are willing to kill us, except for the Oath Keepers. And when our people went to them and said, so, what do you think of the Constitution? I don't know. Well, didn't you take an oath to defend the Constitution? Yeah. Well, what's the Constitution mean? I have no idea. They've got them. They get them at 5, you know, in preschool. They program them so they can put them into the killing machines. They don't teach them about the Constitution. They don't teach them about the Northwest Ordinances. They don't teach them that we had other presidents before George Washington. It's a tough life, folks, and they're making it tougher for us. The sole purpose for illegal immigration, we now know it. It's from the president's spokesman's mouth to the world to keep social programs going. We come back, we're going to talk about food shelf life recommendations. We're going to talk a little bit more about prepping when we're on Liberty Tree Radio and all the other affiliates. Thank you for hanging in there with us. We'll be up for another hour. So stay tuned. We'll be back after this break and a message from our only sponsor, me. English is my language. It's the language of this land. And every sign that's posted here, I should understand. I do not live in China, Mexico, no foreign place. And English is the language of these United States.
Please speak English. English is my language. It's the language of this land. And every sign that's posted here, I should understand. I do not live in China, Mexico, no foreign place. And English is the language of these United States. Now I'll speak very clear for you, so they'll be no mistake. The one you spoke before. English is my language. It's the language of this land. And every sign that's posted here, I should understand. I do not live in China, Mexico, no foreign place. And English is the language of the United States. We'll be right back. hate. Now here's one thing I question and try to understand. Hey, why must I press 1 for English? When it's the language of this land, English is my language, it's the language of this land. And every sign that's posted here, I should understand. I do not live in China, Mexico, no foreign place. And English is the language of these United States. I do not live in China, Mexico, no foreign place. And English is the language of these United States.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out on all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
New world order.
Attention. Government
is an
emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going
to
call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
We have a knight who says, nee.
We are not the knights that say nee. We're the knights that say no king, but King Jesus.
Hecky-hecky-clang.
We are, in fact, very big Monty Python fans. You're listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. A big, fat, hearty welcome to our Liberty Tree Radio listeners. We got a treat for you guys tomorrow, and I'll tell you about that here in a little bit as we do our second round of introductions. Make sure you check out the DutchJones.info website. DutchJones.info website. Remember, Jones is J-O-E-N-S. And you can see all kinds of stuff there. I'm getting a lot of requests. I need a food list. What do I get? What kind of gear should I have? From people that are just starting to listen to the show, they haven't been through the cycles where we've done a little bit every week, and that's fine. There's, you know, a season for everybody, and it's still we're not out of time yet. After we did our training this weekend, our classroom and range training this weekend, where we were educated on the true Islamic threat and the true way that our government is using the war on terror to keep us as slaves, we had another branch of people go, okay, what you guys seem to be doing the right thing. We want to have a seat, Stace. Stacy's not feeling too well, but I got to praise her today. She did like, I don't know, at least 30 minutes on the treadmill, several minutes on the stair stepper, bicycle. You did that. What is that machine called? The elliptical machine. And what she did is this is the hardest she's ever worked since we started this gym thing. Her body's just going bleh. I think it's the, you know, when I remember when I was in the Army, they taught us this, the lactic acid in your muscles comes out, if I'm saying that right. And she's threw up. She's feeling nauseous. So be praying for Stacy. And, you know, we'll hit the gym again tomorrow. Take it a little easier. But what a trooper she was today. I couldn't believe it. I'm doing my thing. I did, you know, some treadmill, some lightweight, some machines, and she's still going. And so she over, you know, you can overdo it. So let's take it easy, but let's all pray for Stacy. She's sitting here looking miserable. Her hair is all muffed, and she's unbuttoned. You're wearing your pajamas and BDUs together. That's kind of adorable. Yeah, so that's what we're doing here. But it's all part of preparation. We're going to the gym. We're doing stuff. We're trying to get people educated. And most of the email, Scotty got the stuff that we sent him today. It took him that long to get it. The mail's doing some weird stuff, Scotty, because we sent it. When did you send out middle of last week? Friday. Oh, it is. Oh, Friday you sent Scotty stuff? Because Thursday was Veterans Day. We ordered some stuff from Alaska early last a week ago Saturday, and we still haven't gotten it, so I don't know. Maybe they're still going through our mail, but I'm glad you got it. Stick them everywhere. I hope you like the video. We sent them a video, right? I shouldn't say I hope you like
it.
Yeah, some stickers, so I hope you enjoy that. So good, good, good. So the requests I'm getting today mostly are I need lists. What do I do? Well, we're going to go back to the basics, and I know Liberty Tree Radio, they're answering these questions constantly, and I know some of you guys that are veterans at this have been prepping for a long time might get a little bored with this. Well, that's where you get to help out. You can call in. You can give advice to these people. You can give us some websites where people can go look for this stuff. Again, the website that I really like is survivalblog.com. Survivalblog.com. I'm telling everybody to go there. But in front of me, what I have here, one of our people prepared this. He found the University of Illinois' food processing department, commercial food products. They wanted to see just how long foods last. So they built this laboratory, put foods in there, kept testing them, checked them for, you know, rancidity or whatever you call it, when they go bad. And these are real-time, best situation, cool, in your pantry, not buried in a hole, not, you know, frozen in a block out in the wilds of northern Minnesota or something. This is on the shelf in your pantry. So when you put, everybody says, well, how long is that good? Everybody has their tips, and I'm expecting you guys to give them to me now. Well, every 3 months, flip your cans over. You know, every 6 months. You going to be okay, Stace? Yeah, well, go lay down. You can lay down. You know, you don't have to be up here if you're sick. Just I better have dinner ready or there's going to be a whooping. I'm kidding. I'll preheat some taquitos or something. How long does a ho-ho last? The misconception about Twinkies and sugar products, they actually don't last all that long. They have a lot of preservatives, Twinkies. Remember in, Zombieland or whatever?
Yeah.
Where the guy said, you know, that this, you know, the myth is that Twinkies last forever. They really don't last that long. Most candied chocolate's going to last about 12 months. So a ho-ho is going to last you about 12 months. So I've got this collection here. I've got 8 pages of it. We're going to try and get it up on the website, but we just don't have the bandwidth where we're at. So we keep bugging you guys to donate. Last month, we only got $250. That barely covered the cost. If we're going to go to another location with better internet so that we can share with you more of this stuff, we need to bring in about $500 a month. So that's just my little plug right there. We do need your support financially and prayers as well. So let's see here. Food products and storage life in months. Now, baking powder, which is a critical thing. I tell people to get a lot of baking powder. I'm not a baker, so don't ask me what it's used for, but the women here get it. They usually say no more than 18 months, and pay attention to the expiration dates, too, on them. Baking soda, which is different, will last up to 2 years. We bought a bunch of Bisquick, and then we just found out that it doesn't last much past its expiration date on the box. So Bisquick may not be something you want to get. It gets boll weevils and all kinds of stuff in it. I don't know what it gets in it, but the critters get in it. So Bisquick, which is something that I recommended, we actually just bought some more. We're going to have to use it to make Ranger cakes. You know, I make chocolate-flavored pancakes for breakfast, basically.
Well, with Bisquick,
it
turns rancid.
It turns rancid. See, one of the ladies here? It turns rancid, and can you use it for anything after that?
Not that I know of.
Yeah, and throw it in your garden and use it for fertilizer. Bouillon cubes will last about 2 years if they're unopened. Bouillon cubes, beef or chicken. Now, cereals, we've got, I love cornflakes, or as everybody calls them, corn scabs around here. Cornflakes only last 6 to 12 months. 6 to 12 months on a shelf. Now, getting into the candies, any chocolate candies, things like that, they're going to last about a year. Chocolate, and I like this because I remember one time recently I was listening to Mark Kornke, and he said, like, Baker's chocolate, semi-sweet, those kind of things. So we went out and got some of that. They last about 18 months. Great thing to put in your bug-out bag. Now, chocolate syrup surprised me because maybe with all the preservatives, I went and looked at our stuff in the refrigerator. It's got a lot of preservatives. 2 years on chocolate syrup just on the shelf if you don't open it. 2 years on chocolate syrup. I shouldn't cover that up. Now, if you vacuum seal them, you put them in buckets, you may get more out of them, but I'm giving you the baselines for on a shelf. The cocoa mixes that I put in all of our packs are only suggested that they last 8 months. The good stuff in the cans, I'm talking about, you know, not the pouches, the good stuff in the cans, if unopened, will last 2 years. Now, here's one for you. Coffee, which is a currency and a trade item. 2 years on coffee, which I'm surprised. I really am surprised at that, and I expect you guys to be giving me some input on this. The coffee creamers only last about 9 months. Now, Stacy, she hated that when she saw that because she loves all the different flavored coffee creamers. And I let her get those to put them into the storage bins because it's a psychological boost. It's a comfort food. So be aware of that, you know. Who lets coffee go that long before use, Robbie says. Yeah, it'll probably all be gone in the first week. Everybody will be. I don't drink coffee. I'm a tea drinker, and that's just the way it goes. Now, cornmeal, which is another thing we got, only lasts about a year. Cornstarch. What's cornstarch used for? Anybody here know?
Yeah.
Canning. I know I use it when I bake to cover things, but 18 months. Canning. But canning?
Tanning.
I don't know what that is.
Tanning.
Like tanning hides, you can. Oh wow, you can use cornstarch for tanning hides. Now, if you get Argo, A-R-G-O cornstarch, Argo cornstarch, they say it'll last indefinitely. It's like, you know, Solomon's wheat. So Argo cornstarch is the thing to get. It lasts indefinitely. Country Time lemonade drink mix. I was happy to see this. 24 months. I love lemonade. It's nice when you're, especially if you're boiling water. The same thing with Crystal Light mix. Crystal Light drink mix, not something I've ever used. We use Kool-Aid. I didn't find Kool-Aid on here. Maybe
I think
it comes.
Is
it on here? Yeah, it is on here. But Crystal Light's 24 months. Now, on the front page, somebody had gone and researched and just written it on this handout we did here. Pinto beans will last 5 to 8 years. The problem is they'll actually last forever, but once after about 8 years, from what I saw online, their shell gets so resistant to water, they're useless. You can't soften them up. So pinto beans are definitely a good thing, Lou. You're going to be eating a lot of pinto beans, Lou. We'll get to the oatmeal. We're going alphabetically if you haven't noticed. What, you like beans, Lou? You like beans a lot, don't you? He's hating beans. Well, beans are what you're going to be eating. Now, Tang was something that we were looking at in the store today, and we're going to go buy it in bulk. We know we got a place here where we can buy bulk foods. yeah, Robbie, you didn't catch on. Tang drink mix, Kool-Aid, 24 months. So the Kool-Aids that we have, I probably got Kool-Aids that are 4 years old. I may break some of those out. Now, white flour, they are claiming that white flour, according to this university thing, and I want you to check in, 559-561-8225. I need you to educate me as well as the others. White flour, only 6 to 8 months. They're saying whole wheat, 6 to 8 months on a shelf. Now, what we've done is we've put them in 5-gallon buckets, and we have stuff up here that's 15 to 20 years old. Open it up, and it's fine. We use nitrogen, inert gas, bay leaves, all kinds of stuff. They found grain from Solomon's silos, his granaries, that was still good. I found corn in the Anasazi stuff when I was in college doing the archaeological digs, corn that was fine. Still be ground and made into a meal. Gelatin, Lou's favorite. Fruit Jello cups, right, Lou? Yeah. 24 months. Now, that's the powdered stuff that you have to make yourself. We're going to do some studies to see how, you know. Well, of course, Jello doesn't last long in our house with Lou around. Grits, and Lou was asking me what grits were, and I told him that they're pickled maggots, grits. No, grits is a grain, especially in the South. I ate them a lot in the Army, 12 months.
That one guy that... That trainer, Bo Grits.
Bo Grits, yeah. Bo Grits, the American hero. Now, this next one on honey, I don't agree with. We've got honey here that we've kept for a long time. It reconstitutes. They're saying 1 year on a shelf. Keep it cool. Keep it in the shade. Keep it in glass. We've got lots of honey. Honey is a food that, Lord, if it's, and they're saying if it's stored in glass 24 months. I disagree. I've seen people store it for years. I'm just using this as a baseline to get your mind thinking. You may be going, oh, this is boring. Well, I want your input. Jams and jellies, 1 year. Molasses, a year. Marshmallow cream, which is funny because Stacy just bought a bunch of this, 4 months. 4 months. It's not a survival food. I know some people, they built their whole thing around cotton candy and marshmallow cream. Not going to last. But mayonnaise, which this one makes me sad, 2 to 3 months in a glass jar, even if it's kept cool, 2 to 3 months. Now, milk, if you can keep it cold, if you've got like subterranean storage and you can keep it cold, it'll last up to a year if it's not opened. The problem is when it's open and the bacteria gets in. Condensed milk, we have cans of that, 12 months, but get this. Robbie doesn't agree with the marshmallow. Condensed milk, 12 months, but evaporated milk is 6 months. Powdered milk, I've kept it for a long time in cans and used it on my cereal. It tastes like powdered milk, but it's fine. Robbie's saying that they've kept marshmallow stuff in their cabinets for years. See, this is where the rubber meets the road. I want to know your real experiences with this stuff. Pasta. We buy a lot of pasta because we have a lot of tomato sauces, and we grow our own tomatoes, and the ladies can and make sauces. 24 months on pasta, 24 months on white rice. White rice, we just had one of our members, he went out and he bought $100 of white rice, and it was several hundred pounds in bags. And he's putting it in Mylar bags with the sealant and the desiccants and white buckets. I think it's going to last more than 24 months. Minute rice in the box, 18 months. Salad dressings last about a year. Salad oils, it says 6 months. Now, I thought we have a lot of olive oil, and there's some different ones here that we're going to go through on the oils because we use them for cooking and all kinds of stuff. Kidney beans can last indefinitely, Gunslinger. Any dried beans can last indefinitely, but this study is saying 6 to 8 years they get so rough they're terrible to eat. But I've had beans 10, 12 years afterwards and used them. I think it has to do with how long you soak them. You soak them in salt water, whatever. So kidney beans and other types of dried beans. I have a ton of kidney beans. I love kidney beans. I'm going to make a lot of survival chili with deer meat. Crisco oil in the jar, you know, or in the bottle, they say 24 months. Corn oil, 18 months. Now, there's some of the stuff here, and I made jokes about this before. Crisco, you know, the big can of Crisco, indefinitely.
That is true.
Indefinitely. It'll heat up. It'll recoagulate.
Yep.
It is very useful. Yeah, Gunslinger's saying honey never expires too. I agree with that. Crisco shortening, they're saying indefinitely it never goes bad. So you need to get a lot of Crisco shortening. Now you're laughing at me. It has all kinds of uses. All kinds of uses. Vinegar with a plastic lid because it doesn't erode it. So the vinegar can be used for all kinds of medicinal reasons, purification stuff, good to go. Salt lasts forever. Sugar lasts forever. Brown sugar, they're giving it 18 months. Confectionery sugar, which I think is that powdered sugar, they say it'll last at least 2 years. Granulated sugar, at least 2 years. We got people up here buying 50-pound bags of sugar. Now you may be thinking, well, I don't really use sugar, except, you know, I don't even use it in my coffee. It's a currency. A pound of sugar may get you a handful of bullets somewhere because people are addicted to it. Sugar's a drug. You notice we're not, you know, I haven't gone over any of the fake stuff. Yeah, they found honey in tombs that was still palatable. So Gunslinger, he's right there. I forgot about that. They have found honey in tombs. You can live on honey and grasshoppers, just like John did. Syrups, you know, we have a bunch of maple syrup and stuff. They're saying only about a year on a shelf. Tea bags, 18 months. Excuse me, 18 to 36 months for tea bags. Instant tea, like the iced teas, are only 24 months. And it's got vinegar twice. It says vinegar 24 plus months. I assume they're meaning like a different, like apple vinegars and stuff, but they're not specifically saying it. Now, here's what I went out and I bought a lot of this stuff, and according to their standards, may have been a mistake. Maybe we're going to end up using them here in a few months. Biscuit mix, brownie mix, and muffin mix, cake mixes, casseroles, you know, like the hamburger helpers and stuff like that, 9 to 12 months tops. Cookie mixes, you know, like the cookie dough stuff, and this one made sense. If it's not refrigerated, it only lasts 2 to 3 weeks. Now, Krusty's Mixes. Is that something from The Simpsons, Krusty's? I don't know what that is. Krusty's Mixes, you know anybody?
No.
It's probably some, but they're saying it lasts 2 years. Yeah, Robbie, that's true, too, on the sugar. Okay, Pillsbury Mixes, Little Pillsbury Doughboy, the dried mixes, 18 months. Betty Crocker stuff, 12-plus months. Jiffy Mixes. I went out and got a bunch of Jiffy Cornbread Mixes, and we put those on shelves in our pantry, 2 years. Crackers, and this is true. I love my chili, and I eat a lot of saltines with tuna fish and our ramen and stuff like that. Krusty's is the same as Bisquick. Thank you, Robbie. Crackers, they say, only last 3 months. And I bought, like, they were on sale one time, so I bought, like, 8 boxes of crackers. Got about halfway through them, and they were starting to get stale just in the box. So, frostings, 3 to 8 months on the frostings. Hot roll mix, 18 months. You got your, let's see here, instant potatoes. We get a lot of instant potatoes here. I like them because they're great for camping. Yeah, Worland's saying apple cider, the older it gets, the better it gets. That's a good one there, too. We get these instant potatoes. We buy them for a dollar. They serve four. Sometimes, and we get the ones that you just have to put hot water in. They're awesome. We get those. We get some corn and some other vegetables, mix them in, throw in some canned tinned meats. It's an easy thing to make on the camp. You know, especially if you've got a small camp stove and you just want to do that, we do that. So the potatoes, say they last 6 to 12 months. We get some of those. Because one of the problems, like Rush Limbaugh said today, oh, you can't store enough to survive on. Right here, a majority of these things last at least a year. At least a year. So if you got enough, you can do it. Pudding mixes, 12 months. The rice mixes, and I assume they're talking about, like, I get a lot of the pouches. You know, the chicken rice, the Spanish rice, those types of things. Those are in my backpack right now. They only last 6 months. But on the other side of the aisle, Rice-A-Roni lasts forever. I don't know why. Maybe it's put through an irradiation process. But Rice-A-Roni, they're saying it lasts. Actually, I read that wrong. See, I read it wrong. They're saying it only lasts to its expiration date. I thought it said extended date. Excuse me. Same thing with stovetop dressings. They only last to their expiration date. Rice and sauce, 10 to 15 months. Noodles and sauce, 12 to 24 months. Pasta and sauce, 12 months. Gravies. I bought a bunch of gravy stuff just because gravy makes everything better. I don't care if you're eating a cupcake or whatever.
Ice cream.
Ice cream. Gravy's good, 12 months. Soup mixes. We have a lot of soup mixes. We're soup people in the winter. It's simple to make. They last about a year, it says here. You know the old, you know how your mom, when you're doing this, everybody, just because it says it's expired. I've gotten stuff, especially from like the food pantries and things. You get it there, yeah, observe the expiration date on some things, other things, no. Now, we've got soup bases, the big number 10 cans of the soup bases. I can't even think of the names of them. They last 10 years. We got some out after 12 years, and they were no good. And all it was dried ingredients. You add hot water to it. You know, you take a cup out, hot water, it reconstitutes. It was nasty. About half the people that ate it got diarrhea. Pop-Tarts. Lou, Pop-Tarts are 2 to 3 months is all. So your entire strategy that you've been stockpiling Pop-Tarts, you're going to have to trade them. I mean, how many Pop-Tarts do you have in your room right now stored in that closet?
One.
One case? Keep it under one pallet. It's a pallet? A pallet of Pop-Tarts? Speak into the microphone, not across it. That's good. Baby foods, for those of you that are going to have to do that, a year. Tomato sauces last about a year because they eat through the can. Canned cheese sauces, this one surprised me. We got some canned cheese sauces that we got from Debbie here. 36 months for cheese. Now, this is the one that made me happy because I do a lot of tuna. We buy a lot of tuna every time we go on a food run. 5 years on a can of tuna. And again, you got to be rotating them. You got to be rotating. We do fruits, canned fruits. We like canned fruits. Lou and I eat a lot of that in the summer. We don't feel like eating bulky. 3 years plus. Pie fillings, I think we got some pumpkin pie fillings and things like that. Top ramen noodles I would put under, somebody's asking in the chat room. Top ramen noodles under the pastas, they last about a year. Although, I can tell you right now, I've used some that were 4 years old and they were fine. The noodles were fine. I mean, they worked out. What lost it was the little broth packet. They didn't have much flavor to it. But noodles are noodles, right? You know, carbohydrates. The thing that I really like here, too, because we've been buying a lot of this, Dinty Moore products, the Dinty Moore stew products, are immortal. And I checked that out online. Dinty Moore, Spam, Ham Chunks, canned chilies, and dried beef are your best bet. And all of those are what's in our pantry and what's going into our barrels. Dinty Moore products, Spam, Ham Chunks. We get a lot of ham and turkey chunks, too. Canned chilies and dried beef, indefinite in this study. So we did Black Label ham. We got some of those in here because I thought they'd be like Spam. They're saying that they don't last very long past their expiration date. Now, the other meats, like we get roast beef, things like that, 3 years. Canned soups, they said obey their expiration date. So we got a lot of Campbell's soups and those types of things in there, and it's not going good. So what I want is feedback from you guys, 559-561-8225. What are you storing, and is this alarming you at all? Is this surprising you? Did you get some bad information, too? Some of this stuff I was like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. We're going to come back after the break, and you're going to be surprised on some of these. Like spaghetti sauce, Ragu spaghetti sauce in the jar. They say the date that it says, that's it. The date that's on the lid, you're done, which surprised me. Yeah, what bachelor hasn't had 4 to 5 year old top ramen? That is the truth. That is the truth. And then there's some good standbys like Tabasco sauce and things like that after the break we'll talk about. I still got like 2 more pages of this stuff. I know you're probably going, hey, this isn't interesting as you're talking about what we were doing in the first hour, but I think it's important information that you need to get. And if you're not taking notes, I just want you to have this in your head next time you go to the grocery store. So we're going to be back after the break. We'll talk a little bit about Steve Klein coming on tomorrow. We do Vienna sausages, but I don't know how long those last. We give those away to homeless people. Robbie. We'll be back after the break. Freedom that guides us today. Our spirit lives on in truth and meritless. Who answered the liberty, so I'll stand for what's right. As long as I breathe, I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees. Every time I hear children say the pledge of allegiance, I'm reminded there's no price too high for freedom. To keep America first, last, and forever. We must stand our ground, fighting together. So I'll stand for what's right. As long as I breathe, I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees. I'm a patriot. Color me red, white, and blue. Fellow patriots, America. There's no point to life without liberty.
my knees.
In the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival escape routes and plans and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or a calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out on all points, bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
Government
is the problem. Is the problem. An emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Dutch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Oh Lord, bless this thy hand grenade, that with it thou mayst blow thy enemies to tiny bits in thy mercy.
Coram Deo, before the eyes of God. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. I guess it's the 15th of November, 6:34 Pacific time. I'm coming to you from the little hamlet of Kaweah.
Grab my phone here.
California. And yes, California, we're behind enemy lines, but we're doing the best we can. And we're talking about some of the shelf lives of foods, and it was brought up during the break, as always. There's good stuff going on in the chat room. You're not just going to do this by storing a bunch of peaches and tuna fish. You're not going to make it. You can't store enough food to just constantly rely on your ark, you know, unless you've dug out a tunnel. You know, you go way back in the mountain, you've got the food will go bad. Most of it, if you're listening to these numbers I'm giving you, before you get to it. The whole point in me giving out these numbers of this is just a baseline, and some of these I disagree with, but to show you that you got to do more than just store some food. Now, your major disaster here, I'm going to go into my FEMA emergency services officer role when I used to go to cities and plan and train them for disaster preparedness plans. Within 2 weeks, all the food, most of the utilities will be gone in a major disaster, major event, or war. I mean, we could use war as a model. Nothing's going to be on the shelves. So if you're in the city, you're probably going to be dead or dependent upon refugee centers if that's what you choose to do. Now, most of us that are Christians would not do that. I mean, last-ditch effort. I mean, you know, right before suicide is go to the FEMA camp, right? And we're not going to do suicide. So you've got to have a mechanism. We've got a year's supply of food. And more realistically, the way Louis eats is probably 3 to 6 months. But what you've also got to do, if you're going to have a fallback position or you're going to be on the move in a hunter-gatherer, you're not going to be able to carry that much food with you anyway. Even, you know, you got a big old van and you got it full of food, you know, okay, fine. You need to invest in the mechanisms of food production and food gathering. This is only part of the plan. Stockpiling food is not the answer. Stockpiling food is not the answer. You have to have a means to collect wild game, grow your own food, animal husbandry. So you have to have a safe place to do it, right? So to have the food is only a very small part of it. Can you protect it? Can you move it? Can you hide it? Can you use it as a multiplier? Will the food get you more food? Are you keeping it for an economic trade item? Gunslinger's saying, buy some seeds in bundles and plant a garden, hundreds of seeds. Try them out. See what's going to grow. You know, make sure you get heirloom seeds that germinate and make new seeds. That's going to be harder to do, I think, here in the future with Monsanto doing what it's doing. I've grown up in places where there's always been enough wild food that a family could survive. You know, that's great. What happens if you're outside Los Angeles and you got 14 million people evacuating? Let's say half of them die in whatever the problem is. Half of them die in the earthquake. Half of them die in the biological event. Half of them get rounded up, whatever. So then you got 7 million wandering the hillsides. Do you really think you're going to find deer and squirrels? Really? Seriously? Do you really think they're not going to wander on your cave that you've put up 4 miles outside of the Hollywood Hills? Really? The reason I do these things is not because I think that this is the answer. I think this is a giant puzzle. Your survival plan should be like a giant puzzle, and you got to work on it constantly. The process is the goal, people. The process of preparing for mayhem and calamity is the goal. So unless you're George Soros, and you've got an ark hidden in, you know, in the Pyrenees somewhere that you're gonna take your private jet to. No, you don't want to store up 6 years of food. This isn't Bert from Tremors. You know, I mean, okay, let's say you do all the dried food that'll last 10 years. So you hide in a cave somewhere. Is that what God wants you to do? I don't think so. He built us to do what? What was the first command that he gave Adam and Eve? Go forth and be fruitful. Our job is going to be to rebuild. You're not going to rebuild by hiding and eating your freeze-dried potatoes, scalloped potatoes and beans and weenies, are you? So have a plan. This is just a small part of the plan. I'm trying to give you knowledge. Knowledge is the key to everything in this. I love it when people call me instead of just asking me for a list of things. What should I be reading? What book should I be reading right now? What website should I be going to and studying? And I always tell them two things. Go to Liberty Tree Radio, listen 24 hours a day. Go to survivalblog.com and read while you're listening. Nobody has that kind of time unless they're in prison. Know the climb you're in. Warland's saying a greenhouse can produce food in winter. We have greenhouses here. We have the plastic and everything to make our greenhouses when the time comes. And they don't last forever, but if you've been listening to Liberty Tree Radio, you know you can take some PVC, some plastic, and make some really nice greenhouses. Right down the road from here, there's a whole nursery that's nothing but PVC and plastic, and about every 2 years they replace the plastic. Right at the bottom of the hill, 12.5 miles from here. Yep, that's right. I know exactly where it is. If it's abandoned. Because in that kind of situation, looting is called salvaging. We've got to remember that. Your whole mental state has to change in these things. We watch a lot of training videos. We watch a lot of these stupid made-for-TV documentaries on the History Channel. What was that one called that we watched last night?
After Armageddon.
After Armageddon. It was basically how not to survive, and they slammed Christianity in it, made it look like it was a stopgap measure that was corrupt. Have a plan, but you've got to know what your tools are going to do. So if I go out and I buy a bunch of stuff that's only going to last 3 months, and this doesn't happen for 2 years, and then I crack open that case, what have I just done to my family's resources? That's what our next project will be. We're on 3 acres, so we have the room. But first, we want to put our well on solar. Good idea. This is a gunslinger. So if the power is out, we still have access to water. Yeah, we have hand wells here, and we're going to make the kids work them. We'll throw up some windmills. We don't get a lot of wind where we are because we're in a weird valley. It's like when we get wind, it's bad. And it blows our towers down and stuff, but then the rest of the time it's just like nothing. We got water power. So we can generate electricity with water wheels, which we've made plans for, and then that will pump our water. But it's also good to have bicycle-driven, hand-driven. So we haven't gotten into solar so much. I have to admit that's one of our shortcomings. Every time I want to do it, something comes up. We were going to buy some solar panels, but this great opportunity to train comes up. And, you know, training costs money for good quality training. I mean, you can do stuff for free. I'm not knocking that. We do free training all the time. But when you have to buy the rounds, you have to buy some special gear, you have to pay an instructor who's of quality. So we miss that. So I've been going over this food shelf life recommendations. They're just recommendations. It's not, you know, these aren't written in stone. One of the things that surprised me is spices, herbs, condiments, all that kind of stuff. Oh, wait, first let me go back up here. I missed some. You guys were asking about canned vegetables, beans, black beans, French fried onions, which I don't even know what that is.
Green bean casserole.
Okay, those things are all 24 months, except for canned vegetables will last 48 months. Canned beans, depending on the product, you can get them to last as much as 36 months. I like that. Five Brothers pasta sauce. Does anybody know what that is?
No.
2 years. I've never even heard of the product. Canned fruit juices. I learned this the hard way. They go bad after about 6 months. I had a bunch of apple juice go rancid on me. Juices different in glass will last 12 to 24 months. Dried fruits, they're saying last only 6 months. That's not true. I've had dried fruits for 6-7 years. Nibbled on them, they're fine. Dried vegetables, 12 months. I disagree with that. Dried peas and pears have gone more than 12 months. But this one was funny. Ketchup lasts about 24 months. Of course, it's tomato paste. But chili sauce, I don't know what they mean by chili sauce. I don't mean red chili sauce, green, whatever, but 24 months. Mustard, just your standard yellow mustard, will last about 2 years. Pickles, 24 months. Spices, they're saying spices last 12 to 24 months. That's not true. If you keep them sealed and airtight, spices can last a long time. Steak sauces like your A1 and your Heinz will last about 24 months. But here's my favorite. This is what I always loved in the Army, because in every MRE you would get Tabasco sauce. 60 months on Tabasco sauce. Tabasco sauce is another one of those things like gravy that makes everything better. Right, Lou? You like putting Tabasco on your Cheerios?
Yeah.
You hardcore? He's all hardcore over there. He's a Tabasco for breakfast kind of guy. Did you put Tabasco on your chocolate cake this morning, Lou?
Yeah.
All right, Lou. Extracts. I don't know what that means. It says 24, but it says vanilla. I assume that's what they're talking about, 12 months. Vegetable dehydrated flakes.
What?
Is that something you ladies use, dehydrated? I don't know what that is, 6 months. Parmesan cheese lasts about 10 months. I can tell you right now there's a can of Parmesan cheese that I've had for 4 years in my refrigerator. And it's not green, but that's in the refrigerator. This is on a shelf. Shredded coconut, canned, is about 12 months. I'm not crazy about coconut, but that might be a luxury item there. Meat substitutes, like the bacon bits, the fake bacon bits. I've seen dried beef substitute. They say about a year. Again, I've had bacon bits for years, and they don't go bad, the fake ones. This one I don't get. And, well, let's see here. Metered caloric products such as instant breakfast. I guess they're talking about like Weight Gain 2000 and all that stuff.
Weight Watcher stuff.
Only 6 months. And I'm getting a nod here from the studio audience. Nuts, like in the cans, Planters nuts, they say 4 months.
No,
I just opened a can that I've had for about a year. It works fine. In the shell, packaged in plastic. About 2 years. That's their natural habitat, I guess. Nut meats. What is that? Anybody in the chat room want to help me with that? Nut meats, 3 months. Now, here's the one that got me, because I live on peanut butter in poor situations. Whenever I've been down and out, peanut butter, crackers, or just peanut butter in a spoon. That's what I do. When I was in the Army, I'd grab all the peanut butter packets I could, and I'd just squeeze them into my mouth while we were on the run in the jungle. Peanut butter, just your generic peanut butters, are 6 to 9 months. However, the one that lasted the longest was Jif brand peanut butter for 24 months. I've got peanut butter right now that's 4 years old. It's fine. The oil floats to the top because we have natural peanut butters. You just got to mix them. Now, popcorn, not the microwave popcorn, just popcorn in the bag, just generic popcorn, 24 months. However, microwave popcorn that I've used has lasted about 3 to 4 years. We just took some out that was 4 years old, and it would not pop.
Non-pop?
It was non-poppable popcorn. And I don't know. Freeze-dried mushrooms, why you would want those, 24. Anything freeze-dried is going to last. To peyote, Are you saying peyote? How long does peyote? Peyote, Tabasco, and Fruit Loops, the breakfast of champions? You college guys are weird, Warlin. It says yeast only lasts till its date on the package. I don't know about that. Maybe it loses its potency. I don't know. Robbie, you sound like a baker from what you've been putting in there. Whipped toppings. Dry. I don't know what a dry whipped topping is. 12 months. That sounds like a breakfast of Indians. So I've gone through that list. What we'll do is we'll make this. If you make a donation to us this month, we'll fold this up, put it in an envelope with your bumper stickers or your video if you've made a big enough donation. But anybody making a donation will get this list. Sorry to sound so, what's the word? Don't say Jew either. I knew you were going to say that. But commercial about it. But, you know, yeah, we have to print these up. It's 7 pages long. And we'll send that out to you if you want it. We'll try to get it on the website, too, so people can download it. But anybody makes a donation, we'll fold that up. We printed up a bunch of them today, copied a bunch of them. Lou did, thank you. So we did that. But you've got to have a plan. You've got to have a strategy that's multifaceted. My plan isn't perfect, and my plan may not work for the next guy. I was on the phone today with a guy. He's been just trying to find himself a survival retreat around L.A., and I said, draw a circle 100 miles around the center of L.A. He goes, and I go, in your mind. He goes, okay. And he says, why? And I said, because the average zombie can walk 24 miles in a day if he's motivated. So 4 to 5 days, they're going to find you. So let's figure the food runs out in a week to 2 weeks. So you're going to have a top time of 3 weeks, if you even get to your survival position, before the zombies show up and overrun you. You can't be around mega population centers. History shows us that. So look at Haiti right now. How long has it been since that earthquake? Has it been a year? And they're still dying. Now, yeah, it's a third world nation, but the UN's been in there, and now they're rioting today. I was going to read that article. They're trying to kill the UN soldiers because they're blaming them for the death of some of their people from the secondary stuff. From the, you know. And if we have a biological event in our cities, a major biological pandemic, you know, I know you guys hate that word because a lot of the time it's doctored by the New World Order, but let's say it happens. Let's say they release an agent on us to kill us. The amount of dead bodies in the streets, the amount of bad water, I mean, it just doesn't make sense. And to think that you're going to store a year's supply of food in your suburban house and nobody's going to know you put it there, word gets out. Yeah. Within a week, the gangs are going to be going door to door looking for this stuff because whoever has the most resources is king. And these gang members aren't stupid. They'll switch from drugs, because their shipments will stop, to food and medicine and guns. They have the guns already. Do you? You're not going to fortify your house. These two really good guys, and one of them was a sheriff deputy that came up, and I hope you're listening. Great guys. And I love their hunger to learn more. But when we said, what's your bug-out plan? They're like, what? And the look on their face is like, we never thought of that. So now I know what they're doing today. They probably went home with their wives and said, okay, we're going to come up with a bug-out plan. They go, do you have a bug-out plan? Or are you just going to stay here and defend? I go, I got a bug-out plan all the way up into Canada, all the way to the Rocky Mountains. I got a plan to grab a boat and go to an island if I have to. Got to have a plan. And then you just, every day, you act on fulfilling that plan. So people called me and wrote me that are all panicking. My pantry's empty. Well, work on one shelf at a time. One shelf at a time. Well, I'm saying if a bioweapon is released, the UN will swoop in. Yeah, that'll work for about the first 3 to 4 weeks. And then when order falls apart, the UN troops will become marauders. There will be no order. So there'll be a big concern and enemy to worry about. And anybody that's, remember the new policies under the U.S. Department of Agriculture, if you're hoarding food, you're a criminal. And so they'll come after you. They'll come in with UN troops, local troops. Doesn't matter. I don't care who the enemy is. It doesn't change anything. The enemies of Christ does not matter. The way we react is always the same. We resist tyranny. And it is easier to resist tyranny by hiding for now. Let God's vengeance upon this nation take its course, and then you come up out of the dirt 4 to 6 weeks later, 4 to 6 months later, 4 to 6 years later, as the plan of the Lord has played out, and you're ready to strike back. The goal is for you and your kind to survive. You and your kin, you and your 3 to 4 families, if that's all you've done, you and your church. I mean, I'm hearing stuff. I mean, we had a report yesterday that there's 500-600 person militias in the Midwest that are on board with this stuff, that have been listening and been abiding in our sermons and stuff like that. That amazes me, that big. And then somebody says we've got, and then one state reported we've got 2,000 people on board that are networking and part of this program. And you'll hear more about it tomorrow from 6 to 7. And we're going to broaden it a little bit. And I'm going to invite all of you guys, if you want to get involved. You're all involved anyway. We're all of us that are engaged in this survive. What do you call it? Prepping. I call it the Holy Cause of Liberty. You're already a member. You've already been drafted. You've already volunteered. You're born into it, or you're like me. You volunteer later in life when you're 32 years old, and you get a peek at it, and then, you know, as you, more is made aware to you, you're more aware of it and revealed to you. You get more into it. I mean, 10 years from now, if I'm still alive, I'll know way more than I do now, and I'll be looking back, going, if there's a way to listen to these radio shows, I'm like, what an idiot! What was he thinking? He should have been doing this. Why did he tell him to get spam? Doesn't he know spam is, you know, whatever. I'm just kidding. But I look back at stuff I was doing in 92 and 93, you know, when I was saved, and I'm like, man, I wasted a lot of stuff, a lot of effort.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. Warland saying it'll be a supply pod rich environment. If you're smart, you can get a lot of the stuff you need as you're moving. Now, think about the strategies that people have had in other calamities, whether it's war, floods, famines, whatever. There will be roving bands of people that go around and do nothing but collect. Now, you sit here and argue about the moral implications of all that all day, or do you want to survive? But looting just to loot is stupid. You have to have a technique, a process, a plan. And you got to start working on that now. You got to figure out how, if you're going to live on the peripheral of a city, how are you going to send raiding parties in? Do you have enough people? Do you know how to operate security? What are you going to get? That's why this list is important. If your guys come back with, let me find something that doesn't last very long. They come back with nothing but coffee creamer, you're going to be going, whoa. it's not, all that kind of stuff. Instead of the list of things that are indefinite on here. That's where this list will come in handy. You put a nice big check mark. These are the things you look for first. If you can get this other stuff, sure, cocoa would be fine. But get pinto beans. They last 5 to 8 years. You know, where's another one that's indefinite? Let me find some of these indefinite ones. We want Dinty Moore, Crisco, Spam, ham chunks, chili and dried beef. Those are your primary targets. Once you fill up your backpacks with those and you still have time and it's safe, then you can grab candy canes and Twinkies. Lou. Zingers. You like Zingers. You're not a Twinkie man, are you? Mm-hmm. But if you don't have these, the knowledge base, how are you going to have a plan? So some of you guys are probably saying, why is he reading off a list of this stuff? Those of you that stuck it out, there's only a few of you in the chat room, thank you, because you're wise. People go, I know all this stuff. I got my garage full of freeze-dried food. I don't know all this. What are you going to do when you get driven away from your food? You and your wife and your adult children are going to load all that food into whatever vehicle you have, and then how are you going to get out of Dodge? It's more important that you have a plan than you have resources right now, because I think the time frame we're in. If it were me, if somebody calls me, what should I do now? Get a week's supply of food that's portable. Start pre-running your routes. Start watching your avenues. Find a way out of your town. And it's really, I know some of you are stuck there and you hate it when I do this. You send me the emails. But those of you people, and I'm going to say this again, and I'm not saying it to offend you, but those of you that are still in cities are insane. Whatever your extenuating circumstances are, I feel for you. My best friend in the whole world, the real-life MacGyver, if you're listening, the fact that you're still in the middle of Orange County, I'm dumbfounded at that. People that are trying to refinance their houses, I could do a whole show on that, but I wouldn't. Everybody else does it. It's a scam. 80% of the houses right now that are financed, nobody knows where the paperwork is. Do you understand that? So you pay it off after 30 years, you're still not going to get your deed, and four banks that paperwork went through are going to say, oh, you still owe me something. It's a scam, and you're playing part of it. It's like Pastor McConnell, we've got to find that sermon about don't attach your pocketbook to their system. We must be as wise as serpents and as gentle as doves. One of the logos that one of these groups that I'm networking with, it's the Don't Tread on Me snake with the serpent, and it's just an amazing, and then it's got the dove. It's got the dove. That's the way we have to be, folks. Just got a message here. It's probably saying, shut up already. Talk about guns. What are you doing? We don't care about this. No, people like what I'm doing. Okay, cool. Good. We'll keep doing it. Trying to make Fort Apache out of your house in the middle of suburbia is going to end up the same way it did in the movie, Overrun. The only difference is you're not going to have a cavalry coming over the hill. I actually have a guy. He doesn't listen to the show anymore because I made him mad. But he's in some militia down there. And he says, well, if it gets bad, you guys will come into the cities and restore order.
No.
Yeah, right. No, the small towns, it's going to go 1880s. It's going to go 1860s. It's going to go 1740s. It's going to be small towns will garrison themselves. There'll be range wars again. There'll be water wars again. It's not going to be pretty. But that's the crucible that we have to go through because we're being spanked. Just I talked about Haiti earlier. Haiti is being spanked for being an ungodly nation. I'm not saying I don't pray for those people, but they have turned their back on God. They worship idols. They worship false gods. They do all that weird witchcraft down there. That's what happens to nations. We're in a different form of rejection of God, and this nation is going to be spanked. And we've been spanked a few times, and each time it comes seven times hotter or worse. Do you understand that? Is that getting through to the people that don't normally listen to the show that are just sampling it? We're heading for a collapse. It's financially, mathematically, spiritually, socially impossible to fix this right now. Sure, a miracle could occur, but I just don't see these wimpy churches turning around. I don't see our corrupt legislators turning around. I don't see the brain-dead zombies in suburbia doing anything other than complaining about their situation. So I gave you a list of foods. I gave you an idea of a plan. You got to move on, folks. I can't help you if you don't act. And those of you that call me and called me last week and I say, well, what kind of foods did you get? What have you acquired? Well, nothing. I'm going to tell you this. Stop calling me then. If you're picking my brain and taking up my time and you're not doing anything in your own situation, I don't want anything to do with you. If you're not making an effort in the holy cause of liberty or the protection of your family, you are not worthy of my fellowship. The phrase, pearls before swine, comes to mind. Stop calling me and saying, how much silver should I buy? And then I go, well, I don't know. Have you got this? Have you got that? And then next week, you call me or email me and say, well, I didn't get around to it. But what was that you told me again? I'm done. I'm done with the sheep. I'm looking for sheepdogs. We're recruiting for up here. And that's it. I know that sounds harsh and that sounds mean, but God shut that door on the ark for a reason. They were begging to get in when the raindrops were falling. They'd never even seen rain before. They were terrified. Water was swelling up out of the earth, coming from the sky. Our God is an awesome God, but He's also a vengeful God. And He's a just God, and people get the punishment they deserve. And if you got a bad attitude, you think I'm a wacko, you think I'm a nut, fine, go on your way. Don't come crying to me or my people when the day of judgment comes. I'm Dutch Jones. Check out the website. Please use the chip-in. We started over again. We only received half the funding we needed for last month, so that means we took it out of Lou's food allowance. We'll be back tomorrow with a completely different show. You're going to be surprised. Tune in. Steve Klein, Code 20, the plan to put 20 militia guys in every zip code to watch the evil that's going on. Thank you for listening. The sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but victory belongs only to the Lord.